sing with us. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day as we gather here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather here today, I do want to remind you, immediately following worship today, we do have a special called business meeting as we vote on our deacon nominating team. You will notice in your bulletin today there is an insert. This is not to vote on the deacon nominating team. That will be brought at the end of worship today. This is nominations for our deacon body. If those names that you would like to be considered to be deacons for this upcoming year, this is to assist the deacon nominating team in identifying individuals to serve as deacons for the upcoming year. You will see this insert in your bulletin not just this Sunday but next Sunday. So prayerfully consider names of individuals in our congregation that you think would be a good individuals who would serve as deacons, individuals who would follow the biblical model of what a deacon is, who is to serve the body of Christ. You see the names listed there are the current deacons who are serving as deacons now, also the names of those who are rotating off our deacons group this year. So prayerfully consider those names. If you have individuals you would like to write down, you can place this insert in the offering plate as it's passed along later in the worship service today. Again, you will see this insert in the bulletin again next week, and you can also place those in the offering plate next week as well. You can also drop these off in the office during the week if you would like to do that as well. So please prayerfully consider names. This will help the deacon nominating the deacon nominating group as they continue their responsibility. And I encourage you to stay for that special call business meeting immediately following worship today. I do want to remind our youth that we do have our intensity study tonight at 5 o'clock. So I encourage you to look forward to joining me tonight at 5 o'clock in the youth room for our youth intensity study tonight. Next Sunday, we will gather around the table for the Lord's Supper. So I hope you will gather as a church body as we break the bread, as we participate with the cup next Sunday morning. You will also notice in your bulletin the first Sunday in July, July 7th, we will be doing our first Sunday collection, our first Sunday in gathering. For the month of July, we will be collecting items for the Salvation Army. You will notice items in the bulletin of things that the Salvation Army currently needs. The baskets will be placed in the church foyer that first Sunday on July 7th. So use the next couple weeks of collecting those items and then bring those on July 7th. If you will not be here Sunday, July 7th, we know that is July 4th weekend, July 4th week, and many people will be out of town. If you want to bring them the week before or the week after, please feel free to do so, and we will make sure it gets to the Salvation Army. If you have any questions about that, you can see Leslie Cornell or myself to answer any questions about our first Sunday collections. Many other things going on in the life of our church. Make sure you check out the newsletter. The July newsletter will be coming out at the end of this coming week. If you have items that you want to put in the newsletter, it's not too late. I know that because I have not done my newsletter yet, and I know Janice is waiting for it. So I will be doing mine tomorrow. So it's not too late. Send it to her tomorrow morning for the July newsletter. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning, let us turn to the Word of God, reading our opening scripture reading, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So we think about this reflection as we focus on God's word as a reflection today from Romans chapter 12. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we think about these words of what you have called us to do, as we listen to Paul's words written so many years ago, the words still ring true. We're called to love. We're called to practice hospitality. We're called to lead with spiritual fervor. We're called to be faithful. We're called to pray. Father, that's why we've gathered here in worship today. We're called to honor you in our time of worship. So as we come to you in prayer, as we lift up song to you, as we read your word, as we reflect on Norman's message in just a few moments, as we lift up our thoughts and our prayer and everything we lift up to you today, we lift up with spiritual praise and with spiritual fervor. Father God, we lift this day up to you, knowing that you are here with us, and we give you thanks for that. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, Lord, I Need You.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one. Your grace is born. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. I need you.
may be seated. I want to give you a quick update right quick. You know, we started Wonderful Wednesdays this past Wednesday, and I have a praise report. We had 6 children. And so please keep praying that this Wonderful Wednesday will be successful and that and we'll gain more kids each week. So thank you for praying, and keep praying, please.
And if you know any children that can want to come, please, please, please invite them. A wonderful opportunity, a wonderful start to our summer, Wonderful Wednesdays. Also, wonderful praise and wonderful opportunity coming up 4 weeks from today. At this time in 4 weeks, our youth mission trip team will be on the bus traveling to Chattanooga, Tennessee, 4 weeks from today. And we look forward to a week's worth of missions work that our youth will be undertaking, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity that God has in store for the work that our youth group will be doing. I also am excited about the work that's already being done by the youth groups that are already in Chattanooga, Tennessee this week, working, already prepping the ground, the land that we'll be continuing as we join other youth groups in just 4 weeks from today. And I know many of you have been praying for our youth ministry team, our youth team that will be traveling to Chattanooga in 4 weeks, and I thank you for that. But another opportunity that you have is to pray individually, specifically as a prayer partner for our 10 team members that will be traveling to Chattanooga. So today I want to announce that the opportunity to sign up for a prayer partner, as a prayer partner for one of our team members, the prayer partner packets are officially done. So as you leave this morning, you may have noticed the basket and the board up on the stand in the foyer. They are available to be signed up for. We have 10 team members. We have 7 youth and 3 adults that will be going this year on our mission trip to Chattanooga. And your opportunity to stop by the board this morning and pull off one of the sticky notes that has a name of a team member on it. Pull off the sticky note, find the corresponding manila envelope in the basket that has a name. Right now, currently I'm holding Olivia Allred. Olivia, wave your hand in the back. Olivia, sit in the back. This is Olivia's prayer partner, so if you pull Olivia's name off, you find her envelope. You grab this envelope, take it home with you. There's also a clipboard down there. Find Olivia's name. Olivia's the first name on the list, and right beside her, you write your name so I know you're her prayer partner, and then pray for Olivia in the coming weeks. Also in here are our cards, and what we're asking you to do is to follow the instructions that are in this packet. Write her a note, a prayerful note, for her to open each day that she will be on the mission trip. That's something she will open every single day. Give her a word of encouragement. Maybe you can write about experiences you have, or write maybe a scripture passage that means a lot to you that may lift her up while she's on the mission trip. Other little things, ideas are written in here that can help you with this process. And then your job is to return this envelope to the same basket on Sunday, July 14th, which is the Sunday before we leave. I need to have these back on Sunday, July 14th, so I can start packing them up to take with us on July 21st. So my goal is, it would be wonderful as I leave worship today, and usually I'm usually one of the first people out, and then I come back in the sanctuary, and then I'm usually the last person out. It would be great for me to leave that second time as I leave the sanctuary to have all these envelopes gone, and I don't have to worry about who's going to pick them up next Sunday. So 10 people, if 10 people will serve as prayer partners this week, it will be a wonderful opportunity. It'll be a blessing to me and a blessing to our team to serve as prayer partners. So this Sunday is your opportunity to serve as a prayer partner. If they're all gone out there and you say, oh, I didn't get a chance to be one, you can be a prayer partner for all 10 of us. So be in prayer, just be in prayer for our mission team. But an opportunity, like again, 4 weeks away, 4 weeks from today is when we leave to head to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So be in prayer for our mission team.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Blessed Assurance. Let's stand and let's worship together. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy at last. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us pray. Father God, we do praise you every day for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. As we come to this time of the service where we return a portion of those gifts to you, we know and recognize that you offer so much more, that you give us so much more. More than what we just placed in the offering plate, you give us everything, and we give you thanks this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. We'll get this one day.
I have many.
Before we pray, I want to say one more thing. I want to reiterate what David was talking about, those prayer packets. Of course, some of you old folks know we took a nice trip to Brazil about 20 years ago from here. And we had letters from home. And it was really nice every day to open that packet up and have a little note from somebody that says, "We're praying for you while you're gone." So the rest of you, you may not get a packet, but you can write notes and put a note in everybody's packet. And I would encourage you to do that over the next few weeks. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for each one of us. We praise your holy name for who you are, for you are our creator, our sustainer, and our blessed redeemer. And we thank you for the privilege we have of gathering in your name to offer thanks and praise for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for our church, for its ministry in the community, for the faithfulness of your people. And we pray as we journey through this time of unknown that we would constantly keep our eyes, our minds, and our hearts focused on your will. May we be led by your Spirit, and may we respond in gratitude and with hope. Lord, there are many folks in our community of faith who are going through some difficult times, personally and family-wise, and we lift them to you, that you would meet their needs according to your good and perfect will. Help us to be prayer warriors for all who are in discomfort, who are having all sorts of difficulties, that together as your people, we can share their burdens and encourage each to keep moving. For we know that you are with each of us. Lord, we pray for forgiveness for each. Forgive us for the things that we say and do that we shouldn't. And we pray for the things that we do not say and do not do that we should. And as we experience your forgiveness, may it flow forth among our congregation and our community. Give us ears to hear your word this day and the courage to live it out in our community. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You know, lots of churches have websites where people can go and visit the church before they actually come and visit the church to check it out, see what it's like. So this morning, I want us to pretend that Acts 2, beginning in verse 42, is a web page describing a church that we are investigating. The home page says, "The Church at Jerusalem," and it shows a tagline that says, "A community of glad and sincere hearts." So listen to the description of this church from Acts 2, 42, and think about it and see if it's a church you'd like to be a part of. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the people, believers, were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what do you think? Is this your kind of church? Is that a place you would like to be a part of, to live out your faith? Well, let's go a little deeper here and check this thing out a little more. We're going to look at some of the descriptions of this church at Jerusalem. The first thing was the church was a learning church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This church was based first and foremost on the truth of God. The apostles' teaching refers to the doctrines of the Christian faith that they had learned from Jesus and were still learning from the Holy Spirit. In other words, a church isn't a church just because a group of people get together to talk about religion. That's not a church. To be a Christian community, a church means basing everything on the truth of God. And what is the truth of God? It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please notice something very, very important here. This was a learning church more than a teaching church. The responsibility did not primarily rest on the apostles' teaching, but on the believers to learn. They devoted themselves to learning. You know, sometimes teachers and preachers are boring and inarticulate, but students and people learn anyway. Sometimes teachers are brilliant and they're wonderful communicators, but the students learn nothing. The best of Christians and the best of churches are learning churches where the desire for the truth is not dependent on the skill of the teachers. Now, we're blessed with many excellent teachers at First Baptist, but the important thing is that each one of us devote ourselves to learning God's truth and then applying that truth to our everyday living. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The Jerusalem church was a learning church, but it was far more than a first century school. It was a community where people were constantly sharing with each other based on a common relationship they had with Jesus Christ. Let's listen again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, and selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. The word fellowship translates the Greek word, which comes from the word for common. In our vocabulary, that word would then become community. A community is a place where people have something in common, something that is shared by everybody, a neighborhood, a business, a political cause, a sports team, things that people have in common. The Jerusalem church was composed of people who shared faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And they expressed their faith in communion, in prayer, in possessions, and just hanging out together. Let's click on communion for a second. Breaking of bread could mean they ate meals together, which they did. However, the breaking of bread in this passage refers to Christian communion, where Jesus is remembered by eating the bread and drinking the cup, which we will do next week. In those days, it was normally done as part of a regular meal and not part of a separate service the way we do it. And so they did this on a regular daily basis. Communion. And now we click on the word prayer. They prayed together and they prayed for each other. Prayer binds people together like nothing else in this world. And since there were thousands of new believers in the Jerusalem church, there was no way that everybody could pray for everybody. And so they must have been grouped together in smaller groups, like Sunday school classes, or meeting in people's homes in small groups. We don't really know, but what we do know is that they prayed. They prayed together, and they prayed for each other. Prayer. What about possessions? The Jerusalem believers cared so much for each other that they sold their possessions and gave to those believers who had need. Can you imagine that? They must have really cared. Remember, this was not something that Jesus commanded the believers to do. There is no indication in Scripture that that was taught by the apostles, and it was not practiced into the future. And not everyone did the same thing. You notice later in verse 46, it says they continued to break bread in their homes and eat together. So obviously, not everybody sold their homes and gave to those in need, but some did. You see, there is a difference between description and prescription. Acts 2 records and describes what these early believers did. It is not a prescription for us as believers today. It is not a requirement for believers everywhere. But I am really, really impressed about their concern for the poor. They were like Jesus. Christians are always caring and compassionate toward those in need. To lack compassion and lack taking action toward those who are needy is a lack of loyalty to Jesus and his teachings. I'm thankful to be part of a church that shows compassion and caring for those in need, just like Jerusalem. The Jerusalem believers broke bread in their homes and ate together, which describes for me the fact that they like to hang out together. We do it differently today. I know some of you gather right after church and the doors go and you're in your car and you're off to the restaurant together. That's good. That's not bad, that's good. We have groups that bring food to share during Sunday school hours, and that's good. We have fellowship meals together as a church, and that's good. It is always a good thing for Christians to hang out with each other. So, do that. Click on worship. Worship was very important to this dynamic, young, growing Jerusalem church. They worshiped God together every day in the temple and every day in each other's homes. We worship together in this place once a week, sometimes more. There are others of you who gather, some here, some in homes, to where you worship and you study and you praise God. The point is that God was central to the life of the Christian community. He still is. Worship, you see, is encountering God's greatness and His grace, and then surrendering to His will. That's what we do when we worship. We encounter God's grace. Our God is an awesome God. And we experience His grace through Jesus Christ, who gave His life on a cross that we might have life now and forever. And because of that, we then surrender our will to His will and live out His will in this world. That's what worship is all about. It is acknowledgement of God and what God is doing. And God is doing things among us. We just need to open our eyes and see it. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You see, the question is never whether God is awesome and doing wonders and miracles, because He always is doing wonders and miracles. The question is whether believers are awestruck and acknowledge what God is doing. When people get up and they give their testimonies, we hear reports of the wonders of God in people's lives. Healing that's taking place, healing from sickness or addictions, transformation of lives, reconciliation in relationships, meeting the needs of others in the name of Christ. You know, some people think that these are interesting little stories. Some people think testimonies are a waste of time, but others are awestruck by the miracles of God in our midst. They were. Are you? Worship is the fundamental activity of the church. Did you hear that? Worship is the fundamental activity of the church. It is the natural expression of one's personal relationship with God. You show God how you care as you worship and when you worship. It is essential to the mission of any church. The life of the church cannot function without worship. Without frequent and regular worship, the church cannot long carry out its mission. And to whatever extent the members neglect to worship, that is the extent that will limit the total ministry of that church. In other words, when you are not here to worship on a regular basis, First Baptist Church of Elon suffers. I'm not talking about vacation, things like that. Everybody's got to have a day off. Jesus took time off. But if you're home and you're not feeling too bad, you need to be in worship. That's who we are. It's the worship of God that is the basis for a fellowship on mission. Now, did this Jerusalem church have distractions? Were there people that some of them didn't like, couldn't get along with? I'm sure there were. But as the community of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, they were awestruck with God. They were not distracted by one another. They were a community of worship. And you know, it was fun. It was fun. If they had a website of that Jerusalem church, you could go and click on their photo gallery and you'd see pictures of people having a good time, smiles on their faces. They were happy. They had glad and sincere hearts. They were happy with God. They were happy with each other. They were learning. They were sharing. They were worshiping. And that led to enjoying. And their joy and happiness was collective and it was contagious. So much so that people outside their circle saw what was going on and they wanted in. They didn't see gloomy faces on Sunday morning worrying about what's over here and what's over there. They were happy people. People don't want to come sit around with a bunch of people who are upset and mad all the time. They want happiness and joy. The world's bad enough as it is. We need to offer them something they can't get anywhere else. Smile. There you go. Wake up. Now, this is not to say that life was easy for these people. We already know that some of these believers were so needy that they needed miracles from God and help from their brothers and sisters just in order to survive life daily. And as we continue going through Acts, we will see where people were beaten, they were imprisoned, and they were murdered for their faith. And yet, they were filled with joy. You know, misery is contagious. Criticism is contagious. Joy is contagious. And I'll take a church with an epidemic of joy and gladness every time. How about you? They were filled with joy. When you put together a church with thousands of Christians in this type of learning and sharing and worshiping and enjoying, do you know what you get? You get more Christians. That's what it says. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we do those types of things, people will be saved. Evangelism is persuading others to become Christians and to join the community of faith. It is what we do as Christians. In the chapters ahead in the history of the first century church, we'll learn how they did it. Let me give you a little preview. They talked up Jesus at home, and they talked up Jesus in the marketplace. They invited seekers to come to church and see what it was all about. They lived out their faith daily so others could see. People knew they were Christians. The Church of Jesus Christ began in Jerusalem with 120 believers. After 3 years, there were only 120 believers. And then the day of Pentecost happened, and 3,000 were added to their number. And every day after that, more and more and more decided to follow Jesus and become part of the church. There is no doubt that those early believers did their part as followers of Christ. Persuading others to believe in Jesus is what we do as Christians. But the actual salvation is an act of God. I had a church in Virginia, and I went to see this old lady all the time, and she'd always say, "Well, how many people did you save today?" And I'd say, "Not a soul, but God did a few." And it's the truth. It is the Holy Spirit that draws unbelievers to faith. The verse says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, was this Jerusalem church a perfect church? Did they have differences and disputes? Were there some who were critical and grouchy and cynical? I'm sure there were. Analysts say that about 15% of any group of people are difficult and dysfunctional. And don't be looking around for that 15%. You might be one of them. But the marvelous report from Acts chapter 2 focuses not on their differences, but on their common supernatural relationships with Jesus Christ. It was all about good, not about bad. It was about God. It was not about them. It was the beginning of all God wants the Church of Jesus Christ to become and to be. you and I cannot travel back in time to that time and be part of that Jerusalem church. But we can live in our time to be Christ's community of glad and sincere hearts, learning together, breaking bread together, praying together, sharing what we have with others, worshiping God together, and sharing Jesus with our family and our neighbors. And when we do these things with glad and sincere hearts, the Lord will add to our number those who are being saved. Not until we do those things. So, come and join what God is doing in our midst these days. If you are struggling with becoming a Christian, I invite you to come. I'd be glad to talk to you. David will talk to you. There are teachers around here who will talk to you about it. But if you're ready, you can come and accept Christ as Lord and Savior today and follow in believer's baptism. You can come and join this church by letter or statement of faith. And you, church member, can today recommit yourself to living out your faith with a glad and sincere heart, so that others would come to know Christ as you do. I'm sure there are many of you in here who hadn't walked down that aisle in 40 years. Maybe today would be a good day to make that recommitment. Let's sing.
Invitation hymn is not in the hymn book. They'll know we are Christians.